This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. It is live Wednesday, CliffCentral.com, on a very chilly winter morning. I went to sleep so early last night, I was so proud of myself. Oh, I got... Add it up. Let me brag for a second. Hang on. Almost 9 hours of sleep. Almost 9 hours.
This is so unlike you.
I know. Look, I didn't sleep the whole way through. I kept waking up, but it still counts for me. Never had 9 hours in a weekday.
Were you naturally feeling tired?
I had a massage, remember, yesterday, so I went home and so relaxed. And I just got into bed. You know, there's something nice about the only thing I would give winter credit for, there are a few things, but one of them is, like, when you get into bed in winter and your bed is nice and warm, that's the only place you want to be. Oof. And then you could easily... I'm not ashamed to say I got into bed at 8:30 last night.
No, well, in your case,
I'm not ashamed.
When you struggle with sleep, this is something to be happy and do the hallelujah dance.
So proud of myself. I'm going to be so pleasant today. I'm going to be so easy to be around. People are going to like me. It's going to be awesome. You're going to be so unused to this.
Oh, well, I just experienced the direct opposite yesterday.
Why?
Because I have one of my friends lives in the States for years now, since... He left when we were still in primary school, senior primary school.
Was this a romantic interest or just a friend?
Gareth.
I'm asking, because it might have been more than that.
In primary school, I was romantically interested Elmo.
Maybe you were friends at primary school. You got interested in each other later on. Who knows? People want to know these things. The detail's important. It matters.
I was about to say, what did I know at 11
it
years
matters.
Old?
Oh, come on. You have people who meet each other in primary school and end up becoming... husband and wife or whatever later on in life. Yeah. Oh. It's rare, but it happens.
I think we can talk about this later, but I got a call from Lorraine Maisel the other day.
How's Law Maisel?
I'll fill you in a bit.
Right. Okay, but lots to get through today. By the way, if you're wondering where Ben is no longer coming in on Wednesdays. He's doing Mondays and Fridays, so set your clock accordingly. Ben is very busy.
Accordingly.
Yeah, Ben's very busy. Gord is in Amsterdam at the moment with Hi Rob.
Well, he's been posting galore.
I saw.
Gord is one of those people who fills everyone in with everything that they do.
He thinks we all want to know. I mean, just leave the guy. Let him keep thinking that. All right, so back to you.
And so with this friend who's lived in the States for years now, and I hate to stereotype, but they often say, Americans are just the way they are, and that's just it. And I feel like he's fallen into that trap, though.
But, like, good American or bad American? Because that's, like, generalizing about South Africans or about worse. It's like if you have something to say about Indian South Africans. I mean, can you imagine how stereotyped that sounds anywhere else?
You know when they say...
Is he loud?
Americans talk about the motherland and Africa's just all one continent.
Oh, no.
He is... And I'm like, dude, you grew up here, so you don't really have an excuse not to really keep up to date with all of these things. But I say all of this because he's now so blasé about time differences. He'll just text me whenever, he'll call me whenever, and it happened to be late last night at around 10. I'm like, do you know that? Like, I'm getting ready for bed.
Yeah, because I saw this morning when I came and you were emailing that. Like 10:30 last night or whatever.
Yeah, so I was sitting chatting to him up until midnight yesterday. So while you were fast asleep, that's what happened with me. Well, I'll still be pleasant regardless.
All right. So tell me about Law Maisel. We haven't spoken to her in a while. Lorraine Maisel, of course, friend of the show. She's been a regular on CliffCentral.com virtually from day one, and she continues to be someone we check in with from time to time. In fact, I saw her the other day. I watched her episode on Come Dine with Me, which was hilarious.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did you think of it?
Yeah, exactly. Law Maisel is a... What does she run? She runs a fashion consultancy, and she has clients she does PR and marketing for. Mm. She's been very successful, and she's really done it all on her own.
And she's
one of those self-starters, you know, and she works these relationships she has with clients, and she's incredible. People like her. They really do.
She's involved in the Sarmas, which took place this past weekend. Well, the Sarmas
yes,
are
because
sad.
She used to invite me to the Sarmas just because she had freebie bags to give me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say to her, "Law, I'm not going all the way to Sun City just for a freebie bag." And she'd go, "Oh, but it's fabulous! You have to hear how good it is. It's fabulous, G." Yeah. So I was,
but you know, since South Africa, we don't really get a taste of a lot of Hollywood things. I think the Sarmas and the Sarmas goodie bag in particular are the closest we really get to anything remotely Hollywood, because they value, I think this year it was valued at 27,000 rand.
I've been to the Sarmas once, and Law did give me a goodie bag. It was incredible. It had like pairs of Ray-Ban sunglasses and a big, luggage bag, which was beautiful, and clothes.
No,
and
I lie. Sorry. This year's Salma goodie bag was worth 17,000 rand.
No, that's bullshit. When I was there, it was more. That's some bullshit. If you wasted your time going to the Salmas this year, you celebrity assholes, you got nothing. You got nothing. I got more in 2000 and what was it? 2012, 2013, somewhere around there. I cleaned up.
Mm.
Oh, I walked out of there. That goodie bag alone, I almost left it behind. Because I'm not good at freebies. I always forget to take them. I popped in and saw Steely and Bronco at the Daily Maverick the other day in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Oh, you must take a goodie bag." There was a bag. Yeah. You know, they've got these things there, a mug and I forgot. I always forget to take the freebies. But that one I did. I remember that Sarmas. I was there with, I was partying with, let me think carefully here, because there was a bunch of us late in the evening.
Ooh.
We actually followed the party. We went to the official after party, and then that closed down. Then we went to the casino.
Excuse me now?
Oh, yeah. No. We went large. I'm just trying to think who was with me.
What year did you say this was?
I think Stuart from the Parlor Tones.
Oh, goodness.
Well, they were a lot wilder then. Bobby van Jaarsveld. No, seriously. No, he was an animal that night. Animal.
It sounds like a beginning of a joke.
What it does. It sounds
Stuart
like,
from
yeah.
the Parlor Tones.
And Bobby van Jaarsveld. No, but there were some other people too. O'Leara was with us with her husband.
Oh.
Yeah, those two. Wow. A lot of fun. I can't remember who else. But this is also before Lyra and Bobby were doing that show together.
The Voice.
I think that was how I introduced them to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm putting too many disjointed things together. But we had a party, and I got a great goodie bag. So Law does the goodie bag still.
Yeah, she's still doing that. And we have common friends, especially in the PR world. And she just called me up on Monday just to catch up with me.
Yeah.
And we did. We kocht a lot.
What's going on in Law's life? There's always some drama with a man.
Well, she's actually in love now.
Ah, with who?
Which I actually think is so sweet, because you reminded me as you were talking about, you know, sometimes you fall in love while you're still in school. She's back in love with her very first boyfriend.
No way.
Yes.
So they found each other again?
How
did that happen?
Over social media.
Huh.
And they were social media friends, and he unfortunately was going through some illness, and you know, he was posting about it.
Was he dying?
Well, I don't know. I didn't really ask details that much. I just know that he was in hospital for a little bit.
Get Law on the phone tomorrow or Friday. Let's hear it from her. I don't like your version.
You know,
you don't give me enough detail.
Well, I just think it's sweet that, yeah, so she saw his Facebook post about being in hospital, and she says, "Oh my goodness, well, I'm so sorry you're going through this, but I'm in Cape Town as well. I'll come in and visit you in hospital."
Oh, and then the romance blossomed, huh? What a shit place to fall in love.
She leaned over the hospital bed.
Yeah, it's like a soap opera.
Ivy drips.
Have you noticed they always do? They always have soap operas. Always have hospitals and doctors. Do you know why?
Isn't there psychology behind something?
Yeah, they've done research. So there are basically three things that you have to have in a soap opera to make it work. Three kind of storylines. They have to go around three general human experiences. There has to be health issue for someone at some point. Everyone has health issues. Because that, and then the people watching, these fat Hausfraus, can enjoy themselves because they go, oh, well, I've also got diabetes. Oh, just like that woman in the soap opera. See, it's not just me. So that's number one is health.
Yeah.
That's why they always have many hospital scenes, have a doctor. Every soap opera's got a doctor or seven. Some of the whole, sometimes the whole soap opera
is centered in a hospital. You're right.
So hospital's massively important. Then the other one is wealth. So there's got to be money issues because who doesn't have those?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then the Hausfraus can go, oh, yeah, see, I'm not the only one who has money problems. It's just to appeal to like average people.
It's just so simple.
So it's health, wealth, and relationships, obviously, which is that's 90% of any soap opera. Like this one breaks up, but that one sleeps with this one. Yeah.
Married this one overnight.
Lorraine Maisel's life is basically a soap opera.
So far.
So if you ever want to meet someone who's living a real life soap opera, Law Maisel's the one for you. Oh, Sia, this is great. Listen.
Oh,
I just got an email from info@powerball.com.
Okay.
I have won a Powerball lottery jackpot of $1,250,000,000. All I have to do is email cliffordchance515@gmail.com. Do you think it's for real?
Gareth, this might be your ticket.
cliffordchance@gmail, like if the Powerball. If I'd won the Powerball, I'd have to send someone a Gmail email. Can you imagine?
Gareth, this is your time to pack your bags up and move to Bora Bora.
I want to know what kind of people are stupid enough to fall for that.
Tons.
Please tell me.
Tons of
how?
People.
How can you be? How?
I do not know, but we wouldn't be talking about it, and they still wouldn't be scamming people to this day if it wasn't much of an issue.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love a couple of billion dollars, but that's a fantasy. Like, I just wish that less of us would be, and I blame the movies to a degree, and soap operas, mm-hmm. and all the stuff we're talking about, and even the way that certain, you know, people who've really made it in life, and a lot of people who have made it in life, like to go around telling other people, if you dream it, you can achieve it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very unkind in the long run, because what you're doing is you're setting them up for failure. Like, a lot of people can dream and dream and dream and dream, and they'll never get anywhere. Like, you can dream lying on your couch at home, watching the TV and playing PlayStation games, and nothing's going to happen for you. You can dream and dream and dream, but if you don't get up off your backside and actually do something, you're never going to be a success. Like, that's the part they leave out. They don't tell you there's a grind coming. Shit's going to get really, really intense, and you're going to lose things, and it's going to be challenging, and you're going to cry, and it's going to be painful, and the world is all about sacrifice, and, you know, there's a struggle ahead, and no one says that stuff, except maybe the religion part of what people, because religion is, I've got to say this, religion is a lot more honest than motivational speakers.
Well, but,
because religion tells you, you know, shit's coming and God's going to judge you, and, you know, religion brings in a little bit of balance there.
But well, now that you see the rise of these prosperity churches, because it's all preaching good news.
No, but those guys are charlatans. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the written word in any major religion tells you, keep yourself together, work hard, do the right thing. But these prosperity guys are exactly like motivational speakers. They're there to make you feel good. And people go to them, then you see it, you know, and I know, people go to these churches because they need hope. Their lives are often a mess.
Mm-hmm.
They're not happy in their relationships. Maybe they're unhealthy. And maybe they don't have any money. And they go to these churches, these prosperity churches, these prophets. And they listen to them talking just complete shit. And they think, well, that fantasy can become a reality. So when you get an email from someone saying you've won the lotto, but it's a Gmail address.
More than that,
you want to believe it so badly.
I think part of it is also this magic pill complex that we have as society. It's like we are just one solution away from a perfect life. I think that's why still a lot of people play the lotto, and a lot of people still have this mentality of, you know what, if I just change jobs, then everything will be fine. Or I know it's just my, my wife who's keeping me down. I know if I left her, everything will be fine.
Right.
But the reality of life is...
There's no magic pill.
It's all... It's small steps that make big steps and changes. Nothing will change overnight, you know. So nothing will be solved overnight either. But a lot of us still feel that way.
Well, if you are... Here are a couple of messages because people are asking questions. Mig says, Sia, what's your obsession with the killer is everywhere? Have you considered that the killer is maybe you? At the rate that you're going, the fear and anxiety will kill you long before you see the effects of your daily 400 Rand moisturizer regime. Thought about that? Do you have severe stress and anxiety?
Firstly, I mean, perish the thought, 400 Rand moisturizer. Who am I, a peasant?
How much you spend on moisturizer? Tell Megs. Tell him. Tell him. I know you spend more than that. Go on. What do you buy, that La Mer stuff that costs millions?
No. I have a different brand.
Have you seen that stuff? I saw it at the airport once. Someone showed me. And there's a cream or some kind of like spray bottle.
Yeah.
The stuff in it was, I don't want to lie to you, like, could have been $800. Is that possible?
I would, what is that, $800? That's a little over 8,000 rands.
Yeah, for this little pot of cream or whatever.
And they sell it to us in these stupid ways. As soon as you say, with real gold pieces.
Oh, please. Oh. Like, that's going to do anything for your skin.
I don't know what it is.
Are you like, kidding?
Yeah, I'll go with it.
All right, no, so how much do you spend?
I'd say about 600 rands every 2.5-3 months, though.
Oh, it's not so bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
I mean, Migs, what's wrong with you?
Anyway, but going back to that, no, I don't think I'd go around killing 24 people just for the sake of. I think...
No, what he's saying is that maybe the anxiety is going to kill you because you're thinking about the killer the whole time. So it sends your stress levels up and you get sick and die.
No,
have
more
thought
the,
about that?
More real person will more likely kill me.
All right, where is Gord and where is Gord 2 this morning? Well, as I mentioned, Ben is going to be doing Mondays and Fridays from here on in. He's very busy. In fact, he was away this Monday in Durban. So we'll hold his feet to the fire on this one. If he can just get his shit together and come twice a week properly, I'll be very pleased. And I know he's going to be annoyed because he listens to the show when he's not on it. He's going to hear this and he's going to shit all over me on Friday because Ben is so touchy. And Gord is not here because he is hanging out in Europe.
No, Ben is not touchy.
Oh, my God, he's touchy.
Not grumpy at
all. Are you kidding? All right. Lubabalo says, yes, I remember you at the Sarmas. You announced an award. You were quite funny there. Yeah, thanks, Lubabalo. I remember that now. You reminded me.
Yeah, I was looking at what the goodie bag was this year.
It's horrible, huh?
Yeah, it's just a lot of sneakers, a lot of alcohol.
I could do the sneakers.
Headphones.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some shirts and stuff. That's nice. Yeah, and that's about it. And just random different products.
We got really first rate. That time. All right, so I love the way they give people who can afford to buy stuff goodie bags.
But you...
You should give those poor people who've trekked from, like, Tlakong, which is next door to Sun City, by foot into the dome or whatever they call it there, Super Bowl. They should give those people the gift bags. They give celebrities the gift bags. These are people who
can afford.
AKA needs another pair of sneakers. Do me a favor.
But you know, like, I'm convinced the more successful you become.
And I talked to Ricky Rick about this. He's got a room. Ricky Rick has a room of sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
A room. Just every wall of the four walls is filled with shelves, and instead of books, they've got sneakers on them. Ricky Rick doesn't need more sneakers.
Just right now, the rapper Drake, a few weeks ago, just posted.
One of the curse?
Yeah, the Drake curse. He posted about his new plane. And it's not a private jet, it's a private plane, like one of the those massive
like a Boeing 747.
Yeah,
oh my God.
That he has. And then it was just revealed over the weekend that the company gave it to him for free.
Jesus.
Drake doesn't need a plane. Secondly, he can afford a plane.
Yeah.
But, oh well.
Good for him.
The more successful you get, just the more free stuff you get.
Henry Funbradar is back in court today, apparently.
Yes, I Sia's saw boyfriend. That.
What's,
he's not my
friend. Well, you liked him. You thought he was hot. I can't understand how you thought he was hot. My God, you have no taste in white guys if that's what you like. Really?
You know,
the ugly little fuck.
I think, will this be my legacy here?
Yeah, you're going to be remembered for the fact that you were infatuated with Henry van Bredaar, an axe-murdering, ugly, tubby little, you know, spoilt brat from the Stellenbosch wine region.
Do you know what I think I should do? I should put up a list of some good-looking criminals. And you will
is that
all
your thing?
Be.
Is well, that what you want?
No, it's not my thing. But I think we all just have to separate the crime from the person.
Oh, no. I'm putting two and two together here. Your obsession with the killer and your obsession with Henry van Bredaar indicates to me that one of your turn-ons, one of your kinks, is that you like criminals.
Oh, yes.
Gareth, I love Thank a good you. Thrill in life, but being we've, in a relationship with someone who can murder me is not
out,
one of them.
Everybody. It's Sia's thing.
Well, yeah, Henry is... and his legal team are asking the Concord to grant him leave to appeal against the murder conviction and the sentence that was imposed last year.
You see, this is where I reckon we've got to get Parliament working, because you should not be allowed to take this situation to the Constitutional Court. The Constitutional Court should be busy maybe three times a year, and they should be dealing with constitutional matters. You should not be able to murder someone and then be convicted and then appeal and appeal and appeal all the way to the Constitutional Court. Can someone, who's the new Minister of Justice?
Let's get them
awake this morning and get them working. New Minister of Justice, whoever the hell you are, doesn't matter, Sia, we don't care. But the fact is, you can get to work today and you can stop all this nonsense from getting to the Constitutional Court. We've got the Supreme Court of Appeal in Bloemfontein. It's closer to where
Michael
Henry
Masuta.
Thank you. No, he's the old one.
Oh.
No, he's the old one. Come on, Sia. Go get on your toes here, Michael Masuta. He's the old guy.
Well, Google failed me there. Oh, Ronald Lamola.
Thank you. Ronald Lamola, ex of the ANC Youth League. Let's see you earn your chops. Okay? Get out there. We'll give you a chance, but you start off by saying, all right, no more of this bullshit of appealing to the Constitutional Court in a basic civil or criminal matter. Not allowed.
They submitted a 53-page affidavit.
Oh, can you imagine being the judge having to read that? Yeah. Saying what? That he didn't do it?
They say that it was misdirected. Well, it is submitted that in court it was misdirected by concluding that the proven facts are only consistent with the finding that van Bredaar was a person who attacked his family, and that the proven facts exclude as reasonable inference that the applicant... my goodness, I don't understand any of this at all.
It's bullshit.
The finding that the absence of blood underneath van Bredaar's socks is an anomaly, whether he's a victim or perpetrator, they're just trying to justify anything.
Is there anyone in the world who still thinks that this guy is not guilty? Anyone in the world? Yes, sir, go ahead. Yeah, I thought so. All right, besides you. Nobody.
Yeah. Well, the NPA will file its replying affidavit next Friday.
Oh, well.
I'm sure the people in the NPA are just sitting, rolling their eyes, going, oh, really?
Fuck this guy again?
Apparently, there's a problem with our app. Listen, the last time this happened, it wasn't our fault. It was the stream from Iono, and I'm just explaining to you. I'm not giving you an excuse. And the time before, it was because there was a massive problem with all the servers. Like, every server in South Africa had some kind of crash. So we had a problem with our app. But I'll check that out with Greg ASAP. See if we can fix that. Some people saying the app is not working properly.
Oh, no.
All right. Morning, team. Hope you have a great morning. Been up since 12. Have an exam at 2. Monday was writing next to this very beautiful girl, but then she was really stupid. She couldn't even do grade 8 maths. Can you imagine in varsity? But she can't answer a simple multiplication problem. I guess you can't have beauty and brains. Enjoy your day. I don't mind that. I don't mind someone who's really, really stupid, but they look fantastic. The better looking someone is, the more they can get away with being stupid. Try that if you're ugly. You won't last 5 seconds.
I'm not going to comment anymore because it'll probably go back to attracted killers.
No, seriously, if you're good looking, you can get away with being stupid. Hmm. And that happens to a lot of people who they don't develop a personality because they don't have to. They're hot. Mm. Good-looking people never need to worry. They may develop a personality later in life when they start getting, you know, obese, or they start getting, they lose their looks. And maybe after they've been divorced and they start to let themselves go, then they develop a personality. And sometimes you realize, wow, this person actually had some character hidden under all that beauty. But normally, the prettier you are, the less you have to work on your character. It's a fact.
Fact.
It's a fact. Are you kidding?
The universal fact book of yours.
Totally, it's a fact. You don't know this?
Oh, wow.
All right. Let me tell you quickly that we've got a brand new Discovery Business Insure Healthy Business Show. In fact, there's episode 3 up today. Sweep South CEO Aisha Pandor says that happy customers are the greatest measure of business success. You agree with that?
Hmm.
The app grew from an idea created by need to a startup sensation that is the first on the continent to bring technology to home cleaning services. Join Fred Rode on episode 3 of the Healthy Business Show as he speaks to Aisha about changing careers, the challenges and the satisfaction of owning your own business, and her vision to address societal needs while running a thriving business. You can listen today at 9 a.m. live, or you can get the podcast right now on cliffcentral.com or wherever you listen. That's brought to you by Discovery Business Insurance, called The Healthy Business Show. Got some great feedback on Twitter this week from people who've listened to episode 1 and 2 and are thoroughly enjoying it. So if you're interested in business, how it works, that's the way to go. Let me also just give you an idea of what's coming up a little bit later on. We've got Catherine Duploy, who's the Chief Operations Officer of Back a Buddy. Remember we spoke about the petrol attendant who gave 100 rand to this woman, Monet van Dierfenter, who she didn't have any cash on her, and he gave her 100 bucks. And so she started this Back a Buddy fund, and it's now up to, what, 500,000 rand or something? Mm-hmm. Half a million rand. And we're going to speak to Catherine Deploy and find out exactly how they're going to pay this out to him. He said he doesn't want the cash because he'll be robbed.
And now Back a Buddy has been receiving a lot of flack.
Yeah, they're getting criticized
because of...
they won't give him all the money at once.
Well, and they're also following, they say, Nkosiko's word. Supposedly he says that he doesn't want the money directed to him because he feels like he'll be a victim and targeted for the money.
And if you grew up and you live in a really poor area... Mm-hmm. The minute people find out you've got money, and remember he's in the news now every day, then everybody starts circling like vultures. And some of those people are dangerous people, and some of those people are bad people, and they see a way to get some money. And you don't want to find yourself a victim. And remember, there are also good people who just desperately need, and they hear that you've got. So
you'll have an aunt creep out of the woodwork. Sure. Your neighbor who says she changed your nappy.
Who are these people, by the way? Who are these people who have anything to do with what this guy or Backer Buddy do with the money? Who are these no good people who are suddenly pitching up and having a say about someone else's money? It's not yours. Get out of here. Who are you?
Let's just believe that they're voicing it out for some level of good, but Backer Buddy is actually saying these are his words.
They're not.
And one of the things he has asked for is to set up an education trust for his family. So it is still sort of direct to him, but I guess Catherine will be able to speak about that more.
Harry Sideropoulos will join us later on. Harry was on our first CliffCentral.com show, and he is doing another live show called Seriously, which is at the Crystal Room at the Killarney Country Club, and it starts this week. I'm going to the show.
You seriously are?
I actually am. I'm actually going to the show. You see, I love Harry. I think he's a great guy. He's been a friend of ours. He was here for the first show as our show announcer, and I will support him. He's been so supportive of me, so I think it's only fair. And I might actually enjoy the show. Who knows? He's very funny.
I'll whisper to him afterwards.
My he's also making
really
some food.
Really likes you. If he's leaving the house.
Yeah, you better tell
at
him.
At night.
He better be appreciative. When he walks in here, he better go, oh, thank you, your majesty.
You want him to bow down at your feet.
Yeah, please. All right. And then Sipho Mabaso, who we were going to speak to yesterday, is available for us to talk to today about that article that I mentioned. So all of that and more. So much to get through today. Do you want to hear some news?
Yes. Five things you need to know.
All right. The five things. Let's start off today with the Western Cape. It seems that we spend an inordinate amount of time focused on the Western Cape. There were some heavy rains and they wreaked havoc on Cape Town roads. Some roads were blocked due to heavy flooding. They resulted in a number of accidents on main roads, heavy traffic delays. Commuters traveling on buses and taxis were delayed for up to an hour. At 6 p.m. on Tuesday evening, major roadways in Bellville, Bontehevel, Greenpoint, Salt River, Brackenfell, they were all blocked. The N2, outgoing under the railway bridge on the main road, and Liesbeek Parkway were down to one lane due to flooding. So Cape Town getting its share of rain. Holy shit. If you're in Cape Town, drive carefully this morning. Keep your lights on. Safe following distance. Blah, blah, blah. This State Capture Commission is quite something. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this. But Muhsin Williams, who is a former editor for the Gupta family's now defunct newspaper, The New Age, has denied wrongdoing in the run-up to the establishment of ANN7 back in 2013. State Capture Commission evidence leader Tundi Norman said Williams submitted an affidavit to the commission on Monday in which he stated he would not testify or apply to cross-examine former ANN7 consulting editor Rajesh Sundaram, who testified for 2 days at the commission and implicated him with former President Jacob Zuma and the Gupta brothers. The legal team took a view that because he does not wish to testify or cross-examine Mr. Sundaram should be given an opportunity to respond to his affidavit. So apparently, he said, I am not in possession of any evidence that may assist the commission in making any conclusive findings as far as the commission's terms of reference are concerned. I always wonder, like, Muhsin Williams, why wouldn't you want to go there and just, you know, even if it's for half an hour, tell them what went on. Tell them what it was like working for the Guptas. Let's get under the skin of this. He was an editorial manager and he didn't uphold journalistic ethics when he discussed commercial ventures and editorial policies with the president of the country, while Zuma's son was a shareholder. Oh, God. I hope I'm not getting sick. Anyway, in the media company, Sundaram said, adding that the meetings were clear conflicts of interest. Maybe Muhsin Williams knows that he's just rotten and they're going to find out about this. Anyway, the fact that he won't even come to the Commission of Inquiry tells you something, right? And to have edited that piece of shit newspaper, The New Age, I hope Muhsin Williams has a lot of trouble getting a new job. Because you should, if you're that crooked and that bad at what you do. The price of both grades of petrol. Oh, here we are. You ready? 93 octane and 95 octane will increase by 9 cents a liter with effect from midnight on Tuesday. We're so used to this now. The wholesale price of illuminating paraffin would increase by 8 cents a litre. And the single maximum national retail price of illuminating paraffin would increase by 10 cents a litre. The maximum retail price for LPG, liquid petroleum gas, would increase by 7 cents a kilogram. So obviously the rand depreciated against the dollar. That's the main reason. And it led to higher contribution to the basic fuel prices on petrol, diesel, and illuminating paraffin. The single maximum national retail price will be 1,241 cents per litre. So that's the latest. Get ready for another price hike, everybody, because, of course, you can afford it. And I don't know if you saw the latest stats on the economy, but it is not looking good. There was no bounce for Cyril Ramaphosa. And in other news around the economy, it's bound to make you feel irritated as well. In March, Standard Bank made the shocking announcement it would be closing down over 100 branches around the country, with many jobs lost as a result. The bank has released a list of all the branches affected this week. Almost 50 will be closed in Gauteng alone, with 11 closing in the Western Cape. And then they list the whole lot of them. And it's pretty scary. I mean, if you're closing over 100 branches, that either means, I mean, it might have to do with the fact that technology is replacing the need for an actual branch. It might be a cost-saving issue for Standard Bank, but it's probably as a result of the economy not going up, but going down. And then I saw Costa Semenya had some success. This is terrific. The IAAF said on Tuesday it will fight a Swiss court decision to suspend its rules obliging athletes, including Costa Semenya, to lower their testosterone levels in order to compete in certain events. Switzerland's highest court on Monday temporarily suspended the IAAF rules following an appeal by Costa Semenya. The athlete was contesting a decision by the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which previously found the rules were discriminatory but necessary to ensure fairness in women's athletics. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Either way, this is great news for Costa in the meantime, but what's the long-term implication? That's what we're worried about. That's what everybody's talking about this morning. In case you were wondering, Bitcoin is trading at $7,789, Ethereum at $242 this morning. Let's go now to Catherine Deploy, who's the Chief Operations Officer of Backer Buddy. Hey, Catherine, how are you?
Hi, Gareth. I'm well, thanks, this morning. How are you?
Good, very good. We've all been swept up in this really happy story about this petrol attendant, Nkosi Kombele, who has managed to, grab and capture the hearts and minds of South Africans. People have been donating to his Backer Buddy account, which was established by Monet van Dierfenter. And this is just amazing. I mean, it's over 500,000 Rand, right?
It's, yes, we're about 500,000. And wow. Gareth, what a nice guy. I mean, so humble. And just the first thing he says to us whenever we speak to him, please, please, Catherine, it's not about me, it's about God.
Okay, so he's a religious
really,
dude too?
Really a humble, humble, deserving guy.
Okay, so I'm sure that there's nothing wrong with his personality, but that's got nothing to do with it. There are a lot of people who are suddenly involving themselves in his finance, people who have, in his financial affairs, people who have nothing to do with him, people who are on social media and suddenly everyone's got an opinion. Really, this is between him and Backer Buddy now. What has he told you he wants to be done with this money?
Well, what happened, Gareth, was, well, first of all, in terms of Backer Buddy and how we work as an organization with all of our campaigns, we have thousands of campaigns that come up onto our site on a daily basis. And the majority of them request that Backer Buddy pay relevant institutions directly. So if it's a medical campaign and you're raising for cancer or for treatment at a particular hospital, we will then pay the hospital directly. Normally, right. Campaign creators actually prefer that way, as well as the donors. It's not compulsory, but it's certainly recommended. So just to give a background in terms of how we operate as a business.
Right, and the reason for that's pretty obvious, because people are donating for a specific reason. People aren't just saying, we're going to, if they wanted to just finance the guy, they could just put the money into his account. With Backer Buddy, it's obviously different.
Exactly, and with Nkosi, it was a bit more difficult because there isn't he hasn't broken his leg or a particular thing that we need to now fund to sort of fix. It's a bit more complex than that.
Yeah.
But what happened with Nkosi was, he gave us a ring on Sunday night, and he said to us that he was quite fearful for his life, and that he was quite uncomfortable with all of the attention and not feeling very safe. So when we received that phone call, we thought, okay, we've got to make a decision as an organization to try and make it very clear to the public that, it's not in his account. He doesn't have it in his back wallet. He can't sort of just dish it out to whoever comes along and potentially ask for it. And it's sad for me to even talk about it like this, but this is a reality of where we live and in the world and human nature. So we put out a statement saying that, the money is with Backer Buddy, and Backer Buddy will pay the relevant institutions directly as per Nkosi's request. So that is where the sort of outrage started. But this has very much been open communication with Nkosi throughout the whole process. He has asked us to please keep it safe for him until such time as he's had a couple of months to just sort of absorb it and think about it and get the appropriate support to make the decisions that he wants to make.
Right.
He is in complete control of his money. He can phone at any time and say, look, Backer Buddy, I need X amount for whatever I need, and we will happily transfer it.
So what's all the noise? Who are these people, first of all, who have suddenly have got opinions and think they have a say about what should happen with the money and what Backer Buddy should do and how he should behave as the recipient of these funds? Who are these people, and what business do they have involving themselves in all of this?
I don't know, Gareth. It's quite upsetting, I must say, for the team. It's such a positive story, and it really is such a positive thing. And to have such a negative spin on it now at the end, it's not great. And there's been a lot of harassment via email and Twitter, and I don't even know who the people are. I've instructed the team, please not to read anything anymore.
Yeah, but who cares, right?
I mean, focus on the positive.
Who cares what these people think? None of them have any say, and it's not their business. They should all be told to fuck off, frankly. Really? I mean, this is between you and Nkosi, and to some degree, Monet, who established this. I think it's just terrific, and well done for being involved in something that is clearly a good story, where there's a guy who did a good thing, and he's being rewarded by the universe. And all of the people who donated are heroes in their own way. And this Monet is a sweetheart for doing this for him. And good for Nkosi,
she is,
you see?
So sweet.
All right, so...
No, great, thanks, Gareth. We won't even focus on the negative, just look at the positive.
Focus on the good people, focus on the fact that you've established this business that helps people to solve problems that they have financially. I think it's terrific. Well done to Backer Buddy.
Great, thanks so much, Gareth. Thanks
and what should you tell the people who are in your way and who are making your life difficult?
To kindly go away?
Yes, all right, I'll say it again. Tell them to fuck off. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Gareth.
Very
Bye.
Good. There we go. There's Catherine Deploy, who's the Chief Operations Officer, Backer Buddy. I know Sia feels strongly about this. He brought it up on Said by Sia on Monday. It's because of him that we know about this. Right, Sia? How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I'm so glad Backer Buddy is holding true to their stance on this matter. You know, they aren't being dodgy. Nkosiko knows what he's getting himself into. And I think that's why a lot of these people felt they wanted to chime in with their two cents, because they felt like, oh no, he's being, you know, just cunned out of, you know, Backer Buddy's cunning and he doesn't know anything.
Who are these
so
people?
He's going to be manipulated out of his own money.
I don't know.
And that
how.
Isn't the case
you
at
know,
all.
If we didn't have Twitter, no one would ever hear from these assholes. They really are just nobodies. And someone has to remind them of this. I would like more of us to do what Helen Ziller's been doing and just put these shitheads into their place. If you have 15 followers and you're busy mouthing off about what you think someone else should do with their money, go to hell. Who are you? You're a nobody. You've always been a nobody. You are at the moment, and you will be tomorrow.
Yeah, because Nkosiko, of course, works for this petrol company.
Sure.
And yesterday, the petrol company released a video where they were calling him and saying, we realize the great work that you've been doing, and you know, kudos on what you did. So we have decided to match what has been raised for you. So they are now donating 500,000 rands as well to charities of Nkosiko's choice.
Nice.
But now everyone is now also, so well, a lot of people are now also saying, oh no, the company's only just jumping on because now it's befitting and it's great PR for them. And
of course.
Once again, why didn't they just donate the money straight to him? Why are they donating
please.
It to charities why
would
of
they,
his choice?
Listen, if you are a petrol attendant, you've got a certain salary. Your salary is not R500,000. Otherwise, we'd all be lining up to be petrol attendants, right? What is wrong with people? They don't understand the economy. You don't get it at all. This is not about him not earning or him earning. It's got nothing to do. He did a good deed. And if any of you idiots on social media would do a good deed, maybe something good would happen to you. But all you do is spread negativity and ugliness. That's why your life's a disaster. So stop worrying about Nkosi and his money, because we can tell it's just resentment. It's all it is. It's you and your resentment. You wish it was you.
you know, the type of people that I appreciate who are adding to this conversation on social media are the likes of, you know, I saw a bunch of different small companies, small accounting firms, some, you know, people in the finance world who are saying, Kosik, we'd like to offer our services to you for free,
sure,
to be able to help
this. Yeah. And, yeah.
To be able to give you some financial advice on what to do. And I think that's good, because how many times do we hear of someone who has great loads of money, you know, lotto winners over and over again, who will get millions of rands or millions of dollars, and then in a couple of months, it's all over. So I think, though, that he has a good circle of people around him right now, and this is turning out just to be as good as it all is. But I don't know about you, I still can't get over the fact, though, that random people who had nothing to do with the story mm-hmm. felt so implored and moved
yeah.
to give their own money to the value of half a million rand.
It's amazing. It's terrific. It shows you there are good people.
How crazy.
Yeah. I didn't give a cent, but then that's because I'm a selfish son of a bitch. And I'm not going to tell anyone what to do with their money either as a result.
You aren't selfish, but
okay. Well, no, yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm not involved in this particular story. Lubabalo said, by the way, the app isn't working. And then I just got a Inati says, I am listening from the app. People must stop using shitty phones. So two contrasting opinions from our lovely listeners.
Which one do we listen to?
I don't know.
Okay.
Migs says, is Ben slowly leaving Cliff Central and devoting more time to Retroactive? He's not leaving. He's just cut down his hours here because he's with Retroactive, which is his own business. I understand that. Garrett, say Brackenfell again, please. Hi, it's like Kraken, not Brackenfell. It's Brackenfell.
Oh,
who cares? It's like Kloof, where the dogs go woof.
No, as a Durbanite, and I've been told then I sound like a Durbanite when I pronounce certain words, so I'm not even going Kloof. To try. Is it Kloof or Kloof?
No, it's Kloof.
Like it's a fish.
And then Siabonga Maraule says, morning team, hope you're well. Sia in four ways, your number one fan. Thanks for the great show.
Oh.
This one's for Sia Sangweni. I just met this awesome guy. Loves me already, Sia, but it's only our first month. I'm already picking up psycho and controlling tendencies. Should I stay or should I go?
You need to elaborate more on that. You know, because how... You know, psycho could be endearing. But... oh, God. Or already, if you doubt, then don't. I also say that. Just, yeah.
All right.
Stay away.
Okay. Are we doing a Said by Sia, or was that our Said by Sia?
I could give you some Said by Sia news.
Yeah, let's do a little Said by Sia.
I could.
I mean, why not? And then we've got, don't forget, a little bit later on, we've got Harry Sideropoulos popping by. We will talk to Sipo Mabaso, who's the journalist that I mentioned yesterday. Sipo wrote this great article, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But first, here's Said by Sia.
I guess you really can never have enough of some good news in your morning. So here's something interesting from the team at Cambridge University, who's working and developing some very, very advanced technology. Imagine this. Smartphones will be able to spot Alzheimer's disease up
what?
To 30 years before symptoms appear.
Your phone?
Yeah, boy. This is what the team at Cambridge University is saying, because they now have a new digital test that is reportedly, let's go with this, 90% accurate compared to 50% for current basic methods using the likes of pen and paper questions. So what this new digital test uses is virtual reality headsets to examine recall of directions. This is the first skill that is hit by Alzheimer's and other dementia-related ailments. So experts are saying that smartphones and gadgets such as, you know, even your Fitbits and some of your smartwatches could perform similar checks within 5 years. So that's what, easily 2024. So Dr. Dennis Chan from Cambridge University is the one who developed the technique to examine 86 elderly patients, says that we don't want to carry on with Q&As that don't really work, but this smartphone technology checks if behavior changes and navigation is the first thing affected. Do you start taking different routes or you're doubling back, for example? That's an early red flag. You can't hide dementia from these tests. So within 5 years, we should be able to do them on smartphones. Now, if you really crunch the numbers, according to the Alzheimer's Association, there are 5.8 million Americans who are currently living with Alzheimer's disease. And by the year 2050, this number is expected to rise to 14 million. Isn't that harrowing? Hmm. Yeah, there's no cure, but some drugs do curb symptoms.
I don't want to go mad and I don't want to go senile. I'm scared of that. That's really terrifying.
Well, hopefully with something like this, you'll be able to spot it. So even though there's no current cure, you'll be able to take medications a bit earlier. You'll be able to, live more of a fuller life.
I'm going to play some of those memory games.
Something like this.
I'm going to get those memory games up on my phone. That's how I'm going to play them all day and all night.
Did you ever watch the movie 51st Dates?
No.
Well, it's this Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore movie. Someone there has memory issues, memory loss issues, and they play a tape every single morning when they wake up. Like, this is who you are. This is the life you have. These are your friends. And then you got into an accident, and that's when you lost your memory. But now this is where you work, and this is the life you live now.
Wow.
I feel like you'll end up doing that just, to curb it.
Please. All right, we've got...
Well, this is so cool. So kudos to the team at Cambridge University.
Very good. Said by Sia this morning. Okay, Tammy sent me a long email, and she wants to correct me.
Oh, okay.
So Tammy says, your rant about Angelina Jolie was a bit one-sided today. First of all, we all had a past, and we've all done stupid things growing up. Angelina was a bit wild back in the day, but look at her now as a mother. You've often mentioned that people who adopt are some of the most amazing people. She's done this on several occasions. Then you mentioned the fact that she doesn't speak to her father, John Voight. John cheated on her mother during their marriage and was allegedly emotionally abusive, so she has every right to choose if she wants him in her life or not. Angelina's also a UN ambassador. I've added a link for you to read on how she's contributed in this field. Then we move on to the children. The fact that she was granted sole custody already says everything. Brad Pitt has been linked to drinking excessively and smoking a huge amount of weed. This was apparently what happened on the flight, and that's why Angelina decided to divorce him after he put their children's lives at risk. She has had a double mastectomy. As her mother died of cancer, she didn't want this to happen to her or her children. She just shows how much she loves her children. Lastly, she did not cause the breakup of Jennifer and Brad. She did not force Brad Pitt to leave his wife. I'm sure he was able to make that decision himself. I can't stand it when men blame women for the breakup of a marriage, like Brad Pitt was so innocent here. Come on, he's a man who likely wanted kids, and Jennifer obviously wasn't interested in having children because she's still childless. Women often get judged as crazy or psycho, with men not looking at the full picture. I wonder if we were to continue to judge you on the acts that you did in your 20s, what picture we would have of you. Not a bright one, I'm sure, she says. I really think she's an amazing lady, and I'd be very proud to have her as a daughter. That's from Tammy. Well, Tammy, you're quite right. I can't argue with any of that. I do think Angelina's crackpot crazy. But I think you're right. You mentioned a few things that speak well of her character. It isn't her fault that Brad decided to cheat on Jennifer. But she's a minx. I mean, she's a sexy woman. She's a temptress. And I don't think that that's completely outside of the bounds of reasonable, supposition here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Tammy makes some very good points. So consider myself chastised this morning.
Okay.
Thank you, Tammy. Always good to get the feedback.
But, you can still be a little loony and also do great things.
Yeah, I think she's able to do both. And you're right. I forgot that she's a UN ambassador. I didn't know that her father had been abusive, emotionally or otherwise.
But I hadn't forgotten that she says she was in love with her brother and made out with her.
Yeah.
Made out with him.
She's a crazy, crazy human being. But at the same time, I take Tammy's point. So thank you, Tammy. Suzette from Durban says, hey, guys. I think all of us humans are a bunch of vain shits. Do we really think that we've created the demise of the earth by eating cows? We are killing the earth with weighing her down with way too many humans and the consequences of exactly that. Stop blaming cows for farting. I eat meat. I have an evergreen garden. And to all the people in the hurricane belt of America, go and read The Three Little Pigs.
Oh, wow.
Blew the house down. Peace and love, and cut and paste from Suzette in Derbs. Okay, so thank you, Suzette. There's lots of feedback. Jeez, we've got a lot of emails today. I won the lottery, according to an email I got this morning.
I don't think you should.
You don't think it's for real?
You should take that one seriously. You should take the other list.
I shouldn't email that Clifford at Gmail, dude.
Probably not. No, don't do that. No.
All right. So, if you are listening on the app, apparently everything's fine. I don't know what the problem was there, but we'll keep an eye on it for you. Coming up in a little while, Harry Sideropoulos and Sipho Mabaso. Among others, we've got a busy show for you this Wednesday morning. CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.